Let's take our Bibles tonight and go back over there to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis and chapter number 41. We'll try to finish this message up tonight, the Lord willing. I love the story of Joseph, don't you? He's a wonderful character in the Word of God. He's a very real type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's just a very a real blessing to study after his life and see. In the margin of my Bible, I wrote down some things, and this is another outline in and of itself. But in the story of Joseph, you remember in the pasture back there with his father, that's where the Lord placed him. See, he started out in his place, amen, where God had placed him. Did you know that I would to God that every child of God would really be concerned, am I where the Lord placed me? Amen. That's important, is it not? In the pit, we find that the Lord protected him. In the Potiphar's house, the Lord prospered him. In the prison, the Lord prepared him. The Lord was preparing him to do a work, even when he was falsely accused and locked up. And then in the palace, God prospered him that he might be used of the Lord feed an entire nation. I got one of those wrong. In Potiphar's house, the Lord proved him, not prospered him there. He did prosper him there, but the Lord proved him. It was a testing ground. Amen. If you listen to some of these preachers, they'll convince you that there is no testing in the Christian life. But I beg your pardon. Amen. I believe our Lord, amen, will allow some tests to come. See what we're made out of. See what kind of fortitude we have. Are we going to go on or are we going to quit? The Word of God teaches us, my friend, that there's a special reward to those who will endure temptation. Those who will endure the trial. Those who will endure the test. This morning we read in your hearing out of Genesis chapter number 42. Let's go back over there tonight and see where the Lord would have us to go this evening. The Bible said in Pharaoh in verse 38, Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be ruler over my house. According to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, and put it on Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And he cried before him, watch this, bow the knee. Glory to God, there's another type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh. And without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh called Joseph's name, I'll let Maggie tell you what that is. Zaph, you got it. You're looking at it as well as I am. Zaphnath-Paaneah. Is that close? Anybody want to do better? Amen. And I just think he should have called Joseph's name Joseph and left it at that. And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Wow, isn't that something? There looks like to me another type of Christ. Amen. 30 years old when he stood there before the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, laid up food in the cities, the food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph were born two sons, before the years of the famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name, glory to God, I'm going to read that again. Somebody needs that. For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. I'll get back to that in a minute. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended, and the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth, watch this now, was in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. What about that? The Bible said, and when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, glory to God, there's another time. Go unto Joseph. I tell you where there's still bread in this generation. Jesus has still got bread. Amen. It might be a famine in the land, not for water, my friend, but for the hearing of the word of God. But our heavenly Joseph has still got bread tonight. Amen. Watch this. Well, I hadn't seen all that just before just now. Amen. So it kind of excites me a little bit. I appreciate the Lord, don't you? And the Bible said here, when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do. Boy, don't it just sound like you're reading over in the book of Mark, I believe it was, where Mary, the mother of Jesus, at the first wedding there in Cana, the first miracle of the Lord Jesus. I think it's the book of Mark. It's one of them gospels, I promise you that. Amen. She said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Yeah. Amen. Glory to God. Over and over and over and over. The Bible said, and the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses. Sounds like you're reading in Malachi now, don't it? And sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was sore in all the lands. If correctly read, and that one name right there, I about guarantee you was not correctly read. But if correctly read, that's in Genesis here, verse 38, chapter 41, verse 38, down through verse 57. Let's pray just a moment. Father, I thank you tonight for the privilege to be here in the house of God. Lord, you have set a meal, Lord, a full course meal on the table for us tonight. God, I pray, Lord, tonight that, Lord, we'd pull our feet up under your table. God, that we'd be fed tonight. Lord, I know tonight, Lord, that you have a word, Lord, for us that are here in this building tonight. God, I pray tonight that you'd take the word of God now, break it and bless it and use it to be a blessing tonight. Help us, Father. We'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want you tonight to think about what Pharaoh said of Joseph. He said, a man in whom the Spirit of God is. Brother David, wouldn't it be wonderful if Emma Jane growed up to be about 10 or 12 years old? One day she is having a conversation with Mamaw, if that's what they call her. I don't know what they're going to call Sister Teresa, amen. But I like it. She's getting in my generation, amen. Amen. She looked over at Mamaw and said, you know what, Mamaw? I believe the Spirit of the Lord's in Papaw. Wouldn't that be a blessing, amen, to so live that our children and our grandchildren could see what a Pharaoh saw in the life of Joseph. The Bible said here, a man in whom the Spirit of God is. We talked this morning, I'm not going to go back over it in detail, but how that Joseph was a patient man. Joseph was in that prison for 2 full years, and he waited patiently upon the Lord. Joseph was a faithful man. He was faithful to his earthly father, and he was faithful to his heavenly father. He was a very faithful man. Let me move on in the story tonight and give you some of these other things that the Lord has shared with me as I studied his word yesterday morning. I mentioned this morning that I'm preaching a lot this year out of my devotions. And I think one of the reasons for that is I've determined with the help of God not just to read through my Bible this year, but to study through my Bible this year. I've never done that before. And you know, you can't study every passage as thoroughly as you do others. But I tell you what, just slowing down and letting God speak to my heart has been a blessing, amen, to my life. And so I'm actually preaching many times out of what I'm reading as God speaks to my heart. And it's fresh to me. I pray it'll be fresh to you. Joseph, this man, is a patient man. He's a faithful man. But look at verse number 16 in our text here. And I'll show you some more things tonight that I trust will be a blessing to you. I found in verse number 16 here that Jesus, or Joseph, and we said he's the type of the Lord Jesus, he makes this statement. He said here, and Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, it is not in me, God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And what I want to share with you right here tonight, the next thing in the list, is this. Joseph was a humble man. Joseph was a humble man. How many believes that God said he'll draw nigh to them that draw nigh to him? How many believes that God will draw nigh to that man that's humble? But he resisteth the proud. That's what the word of God said. The Bible said pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Joseph was not haughty. Joseph was not full of pride. He tells Pharaoh here, he said, it's not in me. And I believe that's important for you and I to realize tonight. I believe every one of us ought to look at our life like this. If there's anything wrong in my life, and certainly there is, would somebody say amen? Put that on my account. But if there's anything good about this old boy, I tell you right there's the reason, amen, that it is. It's because of his good and perfect gift that comes down from above. It's not in me. It's not in you. I praise the Lord tonight that Joseph realized, even after God had blessed him and used him to interpret the dreams in the prison, that he was nobody, but God was everything in his life. And he was humbled by that. I want you to just say tonight, he was a humble man. I won't spend a lot of time there, but I'll tell you this much right now. I believe that churches are real good in this generation. I've been saved for February 22nd will be my 27th birthday in the Lord. I'll be saved 27 years this coming February the 22nd. But listen to me, I believe churches are very good at realizing sin when you're talking about drunkenness and when you're talking about adultery or you're talking about perversion. I believe we can see that and we know that, stealing and lying. And yes, all of that's sin. It is. But listen, the Bible said these 6 things that the Lord God hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. And the first one in the list was a proud look. I'll tell you something tonight, Bible way, we cannot afford to be proud on God. God wants us to be humble. God wants us to realize tonight, hey, if our family's serving the Lord, it's because of his grace, not because of anything that we've done. Joseph was a man in whom the Spirit of God was. No wonder that Pharaoh could recognize he was a humble man. He didn't go in there bragging on Joseph. He went in there bragging on the God of Joseph. I believe tonight that's what Sunday school ought to be about. That's what Bible school ought to be about. That's what the church service ought to be about. Not bragging on us, but bragging on our God tonight. Amen. Our God, he's humble. And Joseph realized, as he was humble, Pharaoh realized that he was a man of God, a man in whom the Spirit of God is. Let me give you this tonight. Let's read verse 38 again, down through verse number 44 real quickly. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this? He's a patient man. He's a faithful man. He's a humble man. Let me just say this. And I know I've told you this before, but maybe some of you wasn't here. Maybe some of you wasn't listening. So I'll tell you again, amen. That when I thought about Joseph being a humble man, I thought about my mama. My mama was dying. I mean, literally dying. They had told her a few days before Christmas she had cancer. They said, you've got 90 days to live without treatments and 4 months to live with treatments. And mama just lived a little over a month. And she went home. She's living now. I guarantee it. Amen. They never lived like she's living now. Amen. I was bragging on my mama. My brother was with me. And my brother's been out of church for some time. And I was telling my mom was, God used her that morning. And I'm not going to go into all the story for the sake of time. But God used my mother that morning. And I was telling it was in the kitchen. And see, mama's not like me. Mama can hear. Amen. I believe mamas can hear better than anybody in the whole wide world, just to be honest with you. Amen. I'm in the kitchen. I'm bragging on my mama. And then my brother said something. That's right, Rick. And I heard mama from the other room. Now, mama knew how to holler. Even when she was dying, amen, she said, boys. And when she says boys, you just better stop right there and listen. She's fixing to say something. Here's what she said. Give God the glory. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that mama went out of this world in humility. She didn't want to be lifted up. She wanted God to have the glory for what was going on in her life. She died with a good testimony. Person after person after person came through that funeral home and said, y'all sure are taking this awful well. Y'all sure are taking this awful well. Well, listen, our God just took mama to his house. We ought to take it well. Amen. There ought to be nobody in Bloomingdale die like God's people. Listen, I want to say this to you tonight, Brother Fred. You're up in years, but I may go before you do. Please, Brother Fred, celebrate. If God takes me home, celebrate the homegoing of one of his children. I told my wife, I said, when they bring me down here, I said, you can leave that lid open for a while. Amen. That'd be all right. But I said, when it's preaching time, shut that lid. And if you have to, roll that thing over somewhere out of the way. And let some man of God preach the word of God. And celebrate. Amen. Celebrate. He said, preacher, I don't think it ought to be that way. It don't have to be for you. I just want it to be that way for me. Amen. I want to go out of this world not full of pride, but in humility, knowing that it's my God that deserves to be praised and deserves to be honored. Look at it right here. The Bible said, Pharaoh said, can we find such one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house. According unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the third throne will I be greater than thou. You say, now, preacher, Here's this man. He's a man of God, a man in whom the Spirit of God is. Number one, he was patient. Number two, he was faithful. Number three, he was humble. But number four, watch this now, he was exalted. You say, preacher, I don't understand that. I don't either, but that's the way it works. In the Christian life, the way up is down. When we humble ourselves, God said he'll lift us up. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, Joseph humbled himself and God come along and said, hey, I'm about to exalt you, son. I'm about to lift you up. Now see, if that bothers you, you need to understand that when Jesus comes, we're all fixing to get a promotion. That know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. Amen. Yes, we're going to be exalted. Amen. And yes, the Lord Jesus will even lift us up in this walk of life. If we'll humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now listen to me carefully.
I've heard this said, and it's a mistake. I'm just going ahead and warning you, okay? Don't ever get on your knees and pray and ask God to humble you. You better think about that one before you do that. Amen. Nowhere in the Word of God did it say we ought to beg God to humble us. Now, He can do it. Somebody say amen right there. But He didn't say that. He said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and I will exalt you in due season. You know what that due season comes back to? The very first point in the message, patience. Now, let me just say this to you tonight. Brother John, if that's our motive for humbling ourselves, we ain't going to be exalted anyway. Amen. Our motive for humbling ourselves is because He's the only one that's worthy of praise and honor and glory. But I'm going to tell you what, when we do humble ourselves, God, you mark it down. It's just like the law of sowing and reaping. God is going to lift that individual up. And God is going to use that individual. The Bible said, whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. But whoso humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. In the corporate world, people climb the ladder and they don't care who they step on the way up. How many knows I'm telling it right? You say, preacher, I want to go up that ladder for Jesus. I want to go up that ladder spiritually. Then I just say, spend some time at the foot of that ladder. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And in God's time, He'll raise you up and put you where He wants you. Amen. The Bible said over there about teaching and ministering. Let him that teacheth, Romans chapter 12, I believe it is, wait on his teaching. Let him that ministereth wait on his ministering. I tell you, we're living in a generation don't want to wait on anything. They want instant everything. But God wants us to be like Joseph. Joseph was a patient man. He was a faithful man. He was a humble man. He was an exalted man. Now, I'm going to give you this. This is important. Look at verse 51. Verse 51. I told you I was going to get to this in a minute. And I know as well as I know my name, this is going to ring somebody's bell. How many's ever had your bell rung? You can't preach something like this to a crowd this size and somebody not get their bell rung. You listen to what I'm about to say. Joseph, look here with me here in verse number 51. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. And here's what his name means. For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. Now here's the next thing. Are you ready? How many's with me tonight? Are you ready? Here's the next thing. Why did Pharaoh say, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Number one, he was patient. Number two, he was faithful. Number three, he was humble. Number four, he was exalted. But number five, he was a forgiving man. You say, preacher, I don't know where you got that. Read it. The Bible just said he called his name Manasseh because God helped him forget all of his toil. He had done forgot about the pit. He had done forgot about Potiphar's house. He had done forgot about his brethren. He done forgot about the prison. I'm telling you, he was able to forgive his brethren, and there's not a record anywhere that they ask him to. I know there's a danger in what I'm about to say. There's a danger, especially when it's going out over the internet and everything, but it needs to be said. My friend, listen. If you're carrying something in your heart towards somebody that's here, you need to get rid of it. But I'm going to tell you, it's very possible that there'd be somebody here that's carrying something in their heart against somebody that's not here. And the same goes. You need to get rid of it. If you want the Spirit of God on your life, and you want God to bless your life, and you want God to honor your life, and you want God to use your life, you got to be like Joseph and be a forgiving man. He said, I forgot all about it. Forgot all about it. Now, how many likes good illustrations? How many's ever worked on the farm? How many's ever been around the farm? I didn't know you could live in this part of the... There must be some city slickers around here. Amen. I need to take you to the farm. Barefooted. How many's been on a farm barefooted? How many's been in a pasture barefooted? I didn't say on the pastor. I said in the pasture barefooted. How many's ever been out there barefooted? How many's ever had something ooey-gooey to come up between your toes. And it had an odor to it, did it not? Amen. You know what it was? It was manure. You know what a whole lot of stuff in our past is? Manure. And I say, preacher, I don't know where you're going with this. Hang on a minute and I'll show you. How many knows that if you step in a fresh pile, it's exceeding fresh? How many knows that? Amen. Amen. I believe you can get that on your foot and your hair on your chest will grow instantly. Amen. Listen to me. Except for ladies. Amen. But listen to me. There's an illustration here. How many's ever seen a cow pile that's fresh? Raise your hand. How many's ever seen one that was hard on top? But when you stepped in it, you realized it wasn't hard all the way through. It just had a crust on it. You say, preacher, what are you preaching? I'm preaching about forgiveness. I'm going to tell you why I know that some people have never forgiven, because they keep stirring in it. And they keep digging in it. And it's like my grandpa used to say, the more you stir in it, the worse it stinks. Amen. I tell you, Joseph didn't spend those 2 years, Brother Grizzle, stirring in it. Amen. God let him forget it and put it behind him and go on for the glory of God. Now listen to me carefully. I'm going somewhere with this. When it's fresh, just like when something happens. Let me give you a statement right here. God gave me this years ago. We cannot help what hurts us. You're a hypocrite if you're trying to act like it didn't hurt when it hurt. You're a hypocrite. Brother Ralph, if you said something about me tonight in a negative way and it got back to me before, I probably wouldn't sleep tonight. It would hurt. You cannot help what hurts you. Things happen in life, and sometimes it hurts. But I tell you what, you can't help. How many believes it hurt Joseph when he was in the pit? How many believes the Bible doesn't say, but there was probably some tears in that pit, thinking, man, I was just going after my brethren, checking on them like Daddy told me to, and I want you to look. I can't believe this. I don't know that for sure, but I believe it hurt him. I believe that's why it's coming out in the name of Manasseh. The Lord is letting us know that he was able to get over that hurt and forgive his brethren. Listen to me tonight. That's that fresh cow pile. It hurts. You say, preacher, what's that next cow pile just crusted over? How many thought you was getting on down the road a little bit and you was beginning to get over it? How many's ever thought that? Say amen. And then the first thing you know, Brother Larry, somebody, it happens the most with husbands and wives. Help me here, church. You say, preacher, how in the world can you tell whether you've really forgiven anybody? I'll tell you how. You just don't mention it again. Now listen about that cow pile. You can step in that thing and you think it's crusted over, but if you're not careful, you'll find out she's still smelly and she's still fresh down under that crust. Am I right or am I wrong? Listen to this. If you leave it alone, you know what it'll do? Brother Lance, it will turn into pure fertilizer. It will harden, and you could pick it up and throw it like a frisbee if you wanted to. Amen. But I'm telling you right now, if you leave it alone, if we have a forgiven spirit, somebody might say about us, there's a man, there's a woman in whom the Spirit of God is. And I tell you tonight, listen, we got no business staring in it. Amen. It's not going to help you. It's not going to help them. It's not going to help him. And it's not going to help Pharaoh to understand that there's a God that forgives. And he gives us the power. Paul said it like this. He said, to whom I forgave anything, in the person of Christ forgave I it. Paul said, you know what he's saying when he says that, Brother Randy? He's saying, I can't forgive without him. But because he lives in me, I can forgive. I'm going to tell you something, church. There's something right there to be learned in the name of Manasseh. He said, he made me to forget all my toil. He's made me forget all that trouble. He's made me forget what happened back there at my father's house. Joseph had the dream. Joseph told his brother. I don't mean this. I'm not lifting me up. But when God shows me something, brother, I love to tell you what he showed me. Amen. It's hard for me to keep it under my hat, keep it under my belt, so to speak. I just want to go tell somebody. And Joseph just wanted to tell him what God had showed him. And they didn't like him. Matter of fact, they hated him. Matter of fact, they were envious of him and jealous of him. And let me say this to you, church. Jealousy is as cruel as a grave. That's another one of them sins that ain't talked about much. We don't like to talk about ours. Somebody say amen. We like to talk about somebody else's sin. We don't like to talk about ours. But I say Joseph was a forgiving man. How many can agree with me right there? What time is it? Good night. That's good. It's 7 o'clock. I'm going to be done here in just about. Let's look at number 6. Joseph was not only a forgiving man. Watch this now. And the name of the second called he Ephraim. There's something revealed in his name. The Bible said here, for God hath caused me to be fruitful. Now watch this. In the land of my affliction. You know what we want, Brother Jeff? We want to be fruitful on the mountain. But we don't realize the soil is always more fertile in the valley. And that Joseph, not only is he a forgiving man, but in the name of his son Ephraim, he's a fruitful man. As a matter of fact, the Bible said over there later in the book of Genesis, I believe chapter number 49, Joseph was a fruitful bough. The Word of God said his branches ran over the wall. God made him a fruitful man. Now let me tell you something right now. There's something wrong with you and me if we don't want to be fruitful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Wednesday night, we've been taking an offering on Wednesday night to expand our missions program. Brother Gary mailed out the first check for Brother Frankie's support for January and February. We were able to give the missionary this morning a love offering to help him on down the road. He said, preacher, what are you trying to talk about? You know what Paul said? He said, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He said, Paul's saying, hey, God's not going to put all that on my account. You read it over there in the book of Thessalonians, amen, or the book of Philippians, I believe it is. And Paul was saying, hey, down there at Thessalonica, you all help me to go, and God's got some fruit to go on your account. Joseph was a fruitful man. I believe tonight with all my heart, God wants our church to be a fruitful church. It has been a fruitful church, and it is a fruitful church. How many believes that God wants us to be an even more fruitful church for the glory of God? He said, preacher, I don't know where you get that. How about John chapter 15? The Bible said, now you're clean through the word that I've spoken unto you, that you might bear fruit. And then the Bible uses this phrase, more fruit. And then the Bible uses this phrase, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall bear much fruit. I like that. Jesus wants us to bear much fruit. Amen. The brother the other day, he'll be here. I thought he was saying Shalanka. I spelled it Chelanka. He got on the phone with me trying to spell his name. And I said, brother, do you do email? Oh, yes, pastor. I said, well, let me see if you can understand me. And I gave him my email address. I said, if you will, just send me all that information so I can read it. I said, I can't hear, and you're talking in an accent that I can't understand. I said, brother, we love you. We want to pray about it and do what God would have us to do. Would you send it? I sure will, pastor. And it was there within 30 minutes. Amen. I read it all. Got me a king-size blessing. And maybe you all can interpret a little better than I can when he gets here. Amen. But he's going to tell us about what God's doing in that little island south of India. About the size of West Virginia. 30 million people. 1% claim to be Christians. He said, preacher, what are you talking about? How many knows what I'm talking about? I'm trying to say, thank God for a church. The Bible said, where there's no vision, the people perish. Thank God we've got something going on beyond these four walls. In our community, in our country, and around the globe. For the glory of God. Our missions program's been going on for years. And I thank God for it. But I tell you what I believe. I believe God wants us just to keep doing what we've always done and do some more if we can. Amen. It's going to be up to us what we can do for the glory of God. But I want you to know this. If you'll ask Him, He'll pour it out on you so you can pour it out to Him. Amen. You watch and see. I appreciate the Lord. Joseph was a fruitful man. Joseph was a forgiving man. Joseph was a patient man. He was a faithful man, an exalted man. Now look at verse 57 and I'm done. The Bible said in all the countries, I guess I got ahead of myself a little bit, but the Lord put that on my heart about the fruitfulness. In all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was sore in all the lands. Listen, let me stop just a minute and say something. I'm not going to say this dogmatically, but I'm going to. This is an observation of mine. There was a time when America was sending the missionaries all over the world. How many knows I'm telling it right? But you know what I believe is going on? God is sending the whole world to America. You think about that before you criticize me for saying it. Amen. I'm telling you, there's every language under the sun, every people under the sun, right here in our own backyard. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart, my last point in the message is this. Joseph, let me see if I can remember him. He was a patient man. If you agree, say amen. He was a faithful man. He was a humble man. He was an exalted man. He was a forgiving man. He was a fruitful man. But let me give you this. And this is where I'm closing out. All of the nations are coming for bread. You got it? Here's my last point. He was a needed man. Let me tell you why the suicide rate's what it is. Listen to me carefully right here, church. It's because people get to a place in their life where they feel like they're no longer needed. Can I tell you something right about that? That right there, that's a lie of the devil. That's a lie of the devil. That's a lie of the devil. Teenagers all across our country tonight, they're probably as upside down as this stinking world is. Somebody will blow their brains out tonight because their team didn't win that stupid football game. Yeah. Christmas time's coming. Christmas time's done gone. And Brother Danny, there's people with bills piled up over their head because they spent money they didn't have on things they didn't need, to impress somebody that they don't even like. Am I right or am I wrong? Now here come the bills. I'm just telling you tonight, listen, Joseph was a needed man. You say, preacher, I don't understand where you're getting this. Well, did the Bible say all the nations? But now listen, how many's read the rest of the book of Genesis? How many's read the rest of it? Here's what I want to major on tonight. Brother John, those same brethren, the same ones, are hungry now. Their dad's hungry now. And Brother John, they're going to die if they don't find some corn somewhere. How many knows the rest of the story? They go down there and Joseph, he hides his identity. He camouflages his identity. Brother Houston, one of the most touching stories in the Word of God, when he can't stand it anymore, and he gets out of their sight, don't he, brother, and weeps, Brother Grizzle. His heart, he's just weeping. He's wanting to tell them who he is and wanting to tell them what he can do. And eventually he does. He was a needed man. Let me say this to you, by the way. I told Brother Mike and Sister Amy this morning about Michaela. I said, please get me the information. I want to visit with that family. This may hurt your feelings. If it does, they need to be heard. There ain't a person in this building any more important than that youngin' that sits right there. Say amen. If we have respect of persons, we can forget about having the blessings of God on us. Those children, Brother Sam, that you brought in here this morning, there's not a person more important than one of them in this building. Joseph was a needed man. Brother Sam, you done figured it out. Surely them youngins need you. They need you and Sister Teresa. Brother Mike, you done figured it out. Michaela needs you. Amy, she needs you, honey. And we need her. Help me right there. We need him. We need him. He was a needed man. Here's what Joseph said, and I'll quit. Joseph said, "You meant it to me for evil." That's right. You didn't have nothing but wickedness in your heart when you threw me in that pit and sold me into slavery. I love these two words in the Bible, but God, hallelujah, but God meant it for good. Now watch this, to save much people alive. Now their salvation in that day was a physical salvation. They were hungry physically. Brother Danny, they were going to perish physically if they didn't find some corn somewhere. And because God could speak to a man, Brother Larry, there was corn in the land of Egypt. There was corn in the house of Joseph. There was corn in the house of Pharaoh. Tonight, I'll say this, church. There are some people in Bloomingdale that are hungry. Physically, there are some. Ain't that right, brother? There are some in some sad situations. Some of it, they ask for it. And some of it, they didn't. Don't ever forget that. There is a difference. There is a difference. It was good to be at the hospital when a little baby came into this world and be confident that there would be a father and a mother, amen, and a grandmother and a grandfather. Brother David, tell them there was 5 babies being born. Your family was represented by about 10 or 15 people, and another family was represented by 2, and the other 3 had no representation while somebody was back there giving birth to a baby. He said, "Preacher, you being critical?" No, I'm telling you, just don't take for granted what God's given you. You're needed. You're needed. You're needed. He was a needed man. Mom, Dad, you're needed. Teenagers, Nick, that's hard for you to believe, ain't it? It's not. Amen. But you're needed. He's just aggravating me up here a little bit. Amen. I like clowning around with him. Amen. That's one of my natural abilities. Amen. Let me tell you something right now. Don't y'all ever let the devil tell you that you're not needed. Because you're needed. Brother Gary, you mentioned getting old this morning. I think I heard an amen from Sister Lois way over here. Just because you're old don't mean you ain't needed, brother. You're still here. Brother Ed Wallace is laying over there in that hospital bed. He's still here. Brother Eddie, it will humble him if he heard me say this, but he's still needed. He's still here. Brother John, there for a few days, we didn't know if you'd make it or not. But you're still needed. You're still here. He was a needed man. And I tell you, somebody ought to look in that mirror tonight and agree with God. Brother Harv, you're needed. Somebody needs you. Agree with God instead of agreeing with the devil. Don't nobody need me. Let me let you in on a little secret. It hadn't happened since I've been here, but if I stay here long, it probably will. Old Slewfoot will jump up on my shoulder. He'd say they'll make it just fine without you. How many knows I'm telling it right? But if I can agree with God, I'll say, "Lord, somebody needs me." Have a reason to get out of bed in the morning. have a reason to study some more this week. I have no idea what I'll be preaching Wednesday night, and I like it like that. It keeps me dependent on Him. Amen. I ain't got sense enough to come up with it, so I just depend on Him to come down with it. Amen. He's good to us, ain't He? Brothers and sisters, you're needed. Don't listen to the devil. You're needed. You're needed. You're needed. Old Benjamin, he had that cup in his sack, didn't he? Can you imagine, Brother John, the astonishment on his face when they opened his sack? Hey, some things in that Bible, you know, it takes place. You don't really understand it all. Joseph had it put in there, didn't he? He was up to something, wasn't he? He wanted to see Daddy. Here's Daddy. He's lived all these years, Brother Randy. They carried that coat in, dipped it in the blood. That I think it was a goat, wasn't it? Dipped it in the blood, carried it, said, "Is this Joseph's coat?" And here is his father. Was that Jacob? Somebody help me. Jacob has lived all of those years thinking that his son is dead. And now he gets a message from Egypt. Let's go see Joseph. Oh, I'm paraphrasing now in Tennessee language. You've got to be kidding me. How many believes old Jacob perked up a little bit? Amen. Now he's going to see his son. I'll tell you tonight, folk, I want to be a man, and I believe God wants you to be a man. That Pharaoh will say, "Brother Merv, there are going to be times you're going to have to listen to the Lord and quit listening to Sister Emma." Amen. You're needed, brother. Amen. I know you got a few years on you. You're somewhere past 25. I know that. Amen. He's liking me right now. Amen. Every time I open my mouth, I'm gaining more points. Amen. He's got him another ticket. Amen, Brother Brian. Amen. Let me say something to you. How many knows what it is to feel like you're not needed? To feel like you. Some people think, Brother Danny, I'll watch a piece of a basketball game. They feel like they've done fouled out, don't they? Don't you reckon that's the way Peter felt? When the Word of God said Jesus looked on him and the Bible said he went out and he wept bitterly. Don't you reckon Peter done thought, "I done fouled out of the game." But I tell you what, you spend 10 days in an upper room and let him pour it out on you one more time and you're ready to preach on the day of Pentecost. All of us could stand a little more time in the upper room. Say amen. I'm trying to quit. Somebody just thought, "Well, I wish you would." So I will. A man in whom the Spirit of God is. I'm just glad you know some men like that. Think back, Brother Terry, in your life when you were lost. Ain't you glad God put in your path, put in that circle, somebody that you just knew? That old boy's got the Spirit of God in him. Amen. He said, "Preacher, how do you know that?" Well, they can make fun of you till they need somebody to pray. How many's ever experienced that? And then there'll be a knocking on your door because they believe you can get a hold of God. They've watched how you live. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? Let me encourage you tonight. You're needed. Not just for Bible school. That'd be a good time to say that, wouldn't it, Brother Brian? You're needed for Bible school. But you're needed. You're needed. This preacher needs you. Amen. And I believe with all my heart, God wants to use us, each one of us, for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the blessing of getting to be here. God, I praise you tonight for the message. Thank you, Lord, for Joseph. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for our church tonight. God, it's my prayer tonight you'd keep your hand upon our church. God, it's my prayer tonight that each man, each woman, each boy, each girl, each teenager, it would be able to be said of them that that's a person in whom the Spirit of God is. I pray tonight, Lord, take the message and may it find a lodging place. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.